Bhagavad Gita is a book of mankind's collected experience of and answers to life's most basic questions. Who I am? From where do I come? What is my purpose and destiny? And most practically, how do I find happiness? These podcasts originate in the lectures of Neil Bhatt, a disciple of Swami Chinmayananda. They are presented here in 20 to 30 minute segments, each covering three of the Gita's 701 verses. Welcome to Gita Wisdom for Daily Living.
So we had been discussing chapter 2. We are still seeing in the first few verses, Arjuna continuing to argue about why he feels that he should not be fighting. Obviously, we have spent the whole chapter 1 listening to his argument. Then Bhagavan told him, that, why are you behaving this way? Where does this un-Aryan-like importance came upon you? In other words, this behavior which is not fitting to somebody who is civilized and trained about Dharma. As we have seen that in our culture, everything is defined by Dharma. So whatever the basic qualities of the thing or being, that defines who that person is. So we have broadly a manav dharma. What is the dharma of a human being? We generally define the dharma of a human being is to act according to his true self, which is divinity, the expression of the God. So our dharma as human being is to align our actions in line with the divinity. So everything we do should be keeping in mind that my true dharma is divinity, and therefore I'm acting in that manner. Then obviously we come down to, now that I have aligned myself to divinity, I'm now just playing a role in this life or in this state or in this time. Now whatever the role I'm playing at that time will define what my dharma is. My dharma from Monday through Friday is to act as an architect. So that time what is right for me is defined by the role I have taken. On Sunday it will be different. If I start talking about architecture here, it will be very inappropriate. So my dharma changes as per the time and role I am taking. There is no universally I can say that if I behave this way will be appropriate. I have to find what is the time I am in and what the role I have taken, and then find what is my appropriate dharma. Arjuna right now is in a battlefield leading an army. Their army is depending on him, on his strength and capability to win this war, and now he wants to go back. Therefore, Bhagavan said, where did this un-Aryan-like behavior come upon you? Because as an Arya, he was taught what is dharma of a Kshatriya. Kshatriya's dharma is when he is facing an enemy, is to fight. Once he has decided this is the right battle, he has to fight. So Bhagavan says, where does this behavior come from? Is it something that somebody was not clear enough while teaching you what is dharma of a Kshatriya is? Or what is your dharma as a prince? What is your dharma as one of the Pandavas? Where is this behavior come from? So Arjuna obviously was not expecting that. He was expecting some sympathetic words. So he continues to make his point. But then he realized that there may be something I'm completely missing here. That all my arguments up till now has not made any impression on Krishna. So there may be something I need to think about what is right. And maybe I'm not capable of thinking what is right. So the next few verses says, Karpanya doso abhat svabhavah. Purchami tvam dharma sammudhacetaha. I made my argument thinking that what I'm thinking is right. That this is my dharma. Not to kill my teacher, not to kill my great-grandfather, not to kill my cousins. For a while I thought, that's my dharma. Now you are telling me that that's not my dharma. That this is not the Arya-like behavior. Therefore, dharma asammudhacetaha. I am completely confused about what is dharma. Right now I do not know what my dharma is. The pruchhami tvam, I am asking you, someone who is confused about his dharma, What is my dharma right now? What am I supposed to be doing at this time? Karpanya doso abhat svabhavaha. My own nature is overwhelmed by this pity. Pity on me that I'm facing this situation. I don't know what I'm doing. Normally, I'm in my control. Normally, I know what I'm supposed to be doing. From my training, from my own intellect, I know in this situation how I should be behaving, which is most appropriate. But looks like my whole swabhava, my nature is overwhelmed by this pity about my own situation, which I'm facing. Therefore, I am dharma asammudhachetaha. I'm completely deluded about what is my dharma. Is it not killing them is my dharma? Not fighting this war is my dharma? Or fighting this war is my dharma? Yat sreya syat nischitam bruhitanme. Therefore, you tell me with definitive guidance what is right for me. Up till now, he was using his own intellect and ego to come up with what is right and wrong. Then he put forward his argument. This is something, an indication to us that sometimes what we think through our intellect may not be right. We do come up with all this argument about why I'm doing this, you know, why don't I don't make any donation, because they are all corrupt and all these organizations are corrupt. Why should I be supporting them? All this nice argument which I come up with, they may be just my own delusion. As long as I hang on to my ego and my intellect to come up with the right answer, there may be right answer or there may be wrong answer. So right now, because you are telling me that what I was thinking is not right, I'm assuming that I'm completely deluded. Therefore, now you tell me what is right for me. Sisihate aham. We go to ask advice, but typically we are not really ready to listen to the advice. We go to somebody and say, you know, this is what I'm doing, this is a situation, what do you think I should be doing? And he said, you know, the best thing for you to do is this. And he said, yeah, but I don't think I'll be able to. Because then you can say, well, what does he know? I mean, obviously, he doesn't know everything. We know what situation we are in. We are really asking for advice just to get confirmation of what I'm thinking. That somebody says, yes, yes, you are right. You shouldn't be doing that. I think what you did is very right. That's what we're looking for. We just need a little pat on our back saying, I think, Neil, you're so smart. You figured out what to do. We are not really looking for advice. He makes it clear, Sisyate aham, I am your student. In our culture, guru-sishya relationship is very unique. It is very different from a father and a son, or a mother and a son, or a friend. Sishya completely surrenders to the guru once he finds that the guru is appropriate. After that, there is no argument about what guru says. Once he has surrendered to the guru, then guru tells him what to do and he does it. It is not a relationship between a professor and a student. Students can argue here. There the guru sishya is, once I have decided that's my guru, I have completely surrendered to him. And then whatever he says without any argument, I will follow. Because I have done all my homework before, whether that should be my guru or I should be learning this particular thing from him or not. Once he has done that, I have completely surrendered. So he makes it clear to Krishna that I'm not just simply asking advice from you because I'm confused. I'm surrendering to you. Sisyate aham. Therefore now you tell me what is good for me and I will follow that. Sadhimam tvam prapannam. I have taken refuge in you. I have completely given up that I can come up with the right answer in this situation, what is right and wrong. But I am now your student. You who will tell me what is right and wrong for me, and whatever you tell me, I will do it. Now, one thing I learned many, many years ago, and not learned from any of the Swami, but Dr. Naidu, in whose house we used to do the classes. And he actually made me understand what a surrender is. Surrender is something when you feel completely helpless. We go to temple and say, I surrender to the Lord, but we are really not. We really want to make sure that I'm in control. who is behind me, who is ahead of me, is everybody paying attention that I'm putting donation? So we are not really surrendering. Surrender is when I completely feel helpless. And the example Dr. Naidu gave me, which really stuck with me, two armies fighting and the one king, when he decides he's going to surrender, when is he going to surrender? When he feels completely helpless, that there is no way he's going to win this battle. He surrenders to the other army. That point, he's completely helpless. He's completely at the mercy of that other king. That the story of Epirus and Alexander, when he surrendered, Alexander asked him, how do you want me to treat you? And Epirus said, treat me like a king. Because at that point, he has no other choice but to say, I surrender now, you can treat me the way you want, but you asked me, so I'm telling you, treat me like a king. So that's a surrender. Surrender when you really feel that you don't have any other way out here. And I surrender to you. Arjuna came to that point that my ego, my intellect, my all this training is of no value right now. I can't come up with an answer which is going to be satisfactory to me or to you. Therefore, I'm now your student. I'm asking you to teach me what is right and wrong. Then tell me without any options. If Krishna gave two options, one option is do this and second, I'm again confused. Don't give me that option. Tell me definitely. You know, when I came to this country, I must have told this story many, many times, but when I was in Africa, to get a new car, you had to get in line. You had to register yourself, and then after 2 or 3 years, you get notification from the dealership saying, now your car has arrived and you can kind of get it. So to get a new car, then everybody, once you get a new car, everyone will come and congratulate you. Oh, that's a new car. Oh, when did you register it? Well, 3 years ago. So my boss told me, go and get a new car. So I come and tell everybody. And they said, your boss is joking with you. Because by the time you get your new car, you probably will be working someplace else. So I made all my effort, use all my influence to get a new car within 6 months. And I was very proud. And as people have predicted, after 8 months, I was in the United States. So I come here. I told my brother-in-law that it looks like there is no public transportation in this country. I need a car. He said, no problem. We'll go over the weekend. Are you sure? But you don't wait till weekend, you know. Let's get started. He said, don't worry. We'll go over the weekend. Over the weekend, it takes me first to a Chrysler's, you know, dealership. And there are cars till my eyes can see in the parking lot or that lot. And he said, you can select any car, but let me tell you. And I said, you just tell me which car I should be buying, okay? He said, this is just Chrysler, then we are going to go to GM, then we'll go to Ford, and then if you like, we can go to Toyota or other Japanese car. And I said, I'm getting dizzy. You just tell me which car I should be buying. And that's it. I don't understand any of this. I understand how to register for and then wait till my number comes. So all these choices are not good. Going to Baskin Robbins, I don't know which ice cream to buy, you know? More choices, there's more confusion. When you only one choice, best situation you are in. When I started my company, NBG Architecture, well, really, I was down to one choice. You know. Either start my own or leave with this, you know, tossing around from Richmond to Northern Virginia to wherever I next time. And I said, I really don't have a choice. And everybody was saying whether it's a good idea. I said, I don't know if it's a good idea or bad idea, but that's the only choice I have. So once there's only one choice, you are really, really confident that that's the right way. It's only when there's a fork on your road, you don't know which way to go. But the road is going straight, no problem. Arjuna says, just give me one answer. What is right for me? And I am your student. I surrender to you. I'm taking refuge in you. And I'll do it. And next verse says, Nahi prapasyami mam apanudyat yat sokam uchhoshanam indriyam. And let me tell you what situation I am in. So this grief which I'm experiencing is drying up my senses. In a sense, I can't really function. And I really don't see how I can get out of this situation, even if avapya bhuma avatsapanna samruddham rajyam shuranam api chadipatyam. Even if I get the most prosperous kingdom on this earth, or even the lordship over Suranam on the Devas, because from our Puranic perspective, first of all, you can be a Chakravarti Raja here, we're doing Aswamedh, and now you're the most powerful king. What is the next one? Conquer the Devas, as we have seen in Purana, fighting with Indra, and Indra is the king of Devas. And once you get a lordship over them, there is nothing more to gain. They say, even if you consider that I can get the most prosperous kingdom after winning this war, and then on top of that you say that you will get the lordship over all the Devas, I will not be able to remove this grief which I'm stricken with, which is drying up my senses. In other words, I'm not able to function. Therefore, I'm taking refuge in you. You tell me. So now he has taken refuge in him. And next two verses, Sanjaya now narrates back to Dhritarashtra what's happening here. So he says, Sanjaya uvacha, evam uktva hrushikesam gudakesah parantapah. Too many cases here, you know, hrushikesa and gudakesa. And we have seen various definitions of both. Hrushikesa, one definition is the one who has control over the senses. In the Gudakesa, the one who has gained the victory over the sleep is Gudakesha. So one who is obviously is very brave and accomplished, and Bhagwan is, you know, who is the lord of the senses. And other is, one has a short hair and one has a matted hair or something like that. Then Parantapaha, again Arjuna is described here, is scorcher of the foes. Which Sanjaya's way of telling Dhritarashtra that Duryodhana is not facing some normal enemy. They're very powerful people with Krishna's help. So winning that war is not going to be easy. Eva muktva rusikesam gudakesah parantapah na yotsya iti govindam uktva trustim babuvah. Having spoken thus to Hrishikesa, Gudakesa, destroyer of foes, said to Govinda, I will not fight. Na yotsya, I will not fight, and became silent. Tam uvacha Hrishikesaha prahasanniva bharata. To that Arjuna, who is in this condition, visidantam idam vachaha. So one who is despondent, visidantam, who is completely broken down, who has no idea what he should be doing. Hrushikesa, Krishna said this, smiling, as if joking, or as if making fun of him. To him who was despondent in the midst of the two armies, O Bharata spoke these words. So that's where now the Bhagavad Gita will start. And Swamiji reminds here that this analogy or the picture which is drawn here is almost like taken from Katha Upanishad. In Katha Upanishad, it uses more as an analogy or metaphor of chariot as this body, Arjuna as the ego, horses as the senses, and the charioteer is the consciousness, the conscious intellect. Swamiji says that maybe Vyasa was so impressed by Katha Upanishad, he literally takes the same metaphor and he's using it here as Arjuna and Krishna in a chariot. So this chariot which we see as the icon of Bhagavad Gita is actually a metaphor for our own situation, where this body is the chariot which is driven by these five horses, the five senses. Those senses are very powerful and wants to take this chariot in five different directions. Till there is a charioteer who controls them and directs them into right direction, which will be the Krishna in you, the conscience. And Arjuna, the ego, as long as the ego thinks that I'm in control, he's deluded and comes up with wrong answers. Once that ego takes refuge into that consciousness and listen to that voice of conscience, then it gets the guidance of what is right and wrong.
Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhina, Sarve santu niramayah, sarve bhadrani pashyantu, ma kaschid dukkha bhag bhavet. Om shantihi, shantihi, shantihi. Harihi Om. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.